Blog Talk Radio.
As you go out here in the world, amen. It is a blessing to be here. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Again, this is Tim the Overseer and Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. We're going to go ahead and get into this word, this end time teaching. Amen. All glory to the Most High God. Amen. We did have a family member that we had to go to a funeral early this morning. Amen. We had to bury a family member. She was blessed to live to be 88 years old, amen, and served the church for more than 70 years, amen. So I can truly say that this lady was a virtuous woman and that she racked up a lot of rewards, amen, over the 70 years. At least I believe, amen, her 70 years of service in the army of the Lord. So the soldier put down, amen, her sword, amen, and now is resting. Amen, amen, amen.
Praise God.
Amen. She is resting. Amen. And her soul is resting. So that's right. Amen. The soul is resting in paradise. Amen. So we are grateful for her service. Amen. Her sons, one of her sons, youngest son, actually was my best friend growing up. Amen. We were next door neighbors. And we've been knowing each other as far back as we can remember. Amen. So it's a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. To be there with them, to support the family, to love on those guys. Amen. Again, such a wonderful lady. Amen. And just her servitude. Amen. In the church. Amen. We are in the church. We're grateful for her life. Amen. So let's go ahead and move on. Amen. Brother,
all right.
I'm gonna read the scriptures of love. You know how I am. Amen. I like to get right on into
it.
Amen. So I'm gonna read the scriptures of love. Amen. I'm gonna let the brother say a prayer. And man, we gonna jump right on into this thing. We ain't gonna wake up. We still dealing with Revelation. We said we're gonna go through the book of Revelation. We're gonna go in depth. We're gonna bring you as much as we can. We may even jump around a little bit. Amen. But we still gonna move from chapter to chapter. We're gonna try to finish up the book of Revelation before September this year. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
we said before
that we don't know the day or the hour. Amen. We're not trying to predict when Christ come back, because Christ said no man knows the day or the hour. Amen. But only his Father in heaven knows. So, amen. For all we know, it could be another 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. I don't believe it's that far. Amen. But we believe, amen, it's a possibility. Amen. We believe it could be this year or next year, but amen, according to scripture and calculations and the word, amen, we actually believe that, amen, it's a possibility that this year the church be gathered together and called home, amen, which is most of the world knows it as the rapture of the church, amen. So we are getting these things ready. Amen. We tell you anything that we share with you in these scriptures, anything that we may say, amen, be free to use it. Feel free to use it and tell your congregation. Amen. You're not plagiarizing us, because we get it from the Holy Spirit. We get it from God. Amen. I know a lot of times folks get a little personal about those things. But at this time and the hour that we are in, we don't have time to fuss and fight. Amen. But to try to win as many souls into the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Yes,
so with that being said, amen. Amen. Brothers, good to have you here. God bless you. Amen. I'm fixing to read the scriptures, the context of love by Paul. And I'm going to give it over to you to go ahead and say a prayer. And then I'm going to take
all
it
right
back on. We're going to jump into this thing, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 reads, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I am nothing." Amen, amen. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long in its kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongue, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the grace of these is charity.
Yeah.
Charity, meaning love. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, go ahead and take it away. Give us a word.
Oh, Father, 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 in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, thanking you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for you giving us the opportunity to spread your word,
Lord,
and to tell somebody about the wonderful love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For he gave us his, God gave his son on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. We know without the cross, there's no salvation. There's no shedding of blood. There's no burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We ask you right tonight, let your Holy Spirit be in us, around us, underneath us. Support us, Lord, in Jesus' name, that somebody may come to your saving grace. Your grace is far beyond our mind can comprehend. And we ask you right now, bless the brother, bless me as I work with him and tell the word in Jesus' name. And we're going to give it over to him through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Church, say amen. Go ahead, brother. Do a rock
amen,
and roll
on it. Amen, brother. Thank you for that prayer. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. Amen. As I said, we buried a family member today. Amen. Amen. I mean, so many things can be said about that, but we're going to go ahead and move on. Amen. But we just thank the Most High God for her life, 88 years on this earth. Amen. And the pastor said she was a member of that one particular church for more than 70 years. How many people, amen, can boast that at this day and time? How many people, really at any point, that's a long time to give service to the Lord, amen. 70 years,
amen.
She was blessed, amen, to give that type of service to the Lord. Amen. Doctor, we're going to go ahead and get on into it. We're going to go to the book of Revelation. We're going to go ahead and get started, amen, because we know, amen, that that time can come around quick, amen.
Yes, sir.
So, amen, amen. We've been talking about some things this past week about some of the things that's been going on in the world, some of the things that we know. We share as much knowledge and information as we possibly can with you. I know last week we talked about the aliens, amen. You know, a lot of time people, they laugh at that type of stuff, especially in the church. Church people laugh at aliens.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no such thing as aliens. I had a pastor tell me that a long time ago. He said, ain't no such thing as aliens. Ain't no such thing as nothing in the sky. He said, ain't nothing up there. He said, ain't nothing up there but stars. Amen. But, you know, amen, the scientists, people on earth, amen, history itself has revealed that there is something up there. Amen. So we can't ignore that. It is definitely, see, we can't ignore. When you find a dinosaur bone, you can't ignore that. That's not normal. We don't see those creatures roaming the earth now. That's not normal. When you see giants, when you keep seeing them find giants more than 15 feet tall and more than 9 feet tall and 7 feet tall, those are giants. Amen. You can't ignore that. That's real. Amen. And just because the government has been hiding aliens and spacecrafts, amen, again, you cannot ignore these things. And you know, you just can't think of everybody's cuckoo that talks about these things. I have family members and friends, amen. I know the elder has acknowledged that he's actually witnessed them. I've had family members and friends that they know for a fact. In fact, I have a family member, and some friends that have been in the military, and they'll tell you in a heartbeat, at the drop of a hat, they'll tell you, yes, they are real. Yes, they do exist. And, yes, the government is hiding them from us. Amen. So, hey, that's all I'm going to say about that. We'll probably come back to that, amen, a little later on the show. Amen. But what I want to talk about, amen, I know that last week we talked about Revelation 12, but the reason I was dealing with that first part of Revelation 12 was because we talked about the sea last week. Amen. So that's why I had to interject Revelation 12, but I'm not through with Revelation 12. And found my hold off on finishing it because I thought about finishing it, but the Holy Spirit said to hold off, and we're going to wait till we actually get to Revelation 12 to continue to finish out the book of Revelation 12. But, amen, I want to touch a little bit more about on Revelation 1. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with me on this. Amen. And what I want to talk about tonight, amen, I'm going to try to talk about it briefly. Like I said, we're going to jump around. We're going to give you as much as we can. I want to talk about the vision of Christ in his glory and which John saw. Amen. Now, we know that John, the apostle, was in prison on the Isle of Patmos. That was an island, amen, that was right there in Asia Minor. It was just right there across from where the seven churches was located. Amen. So
yes,
Christ gave John. Amen. He gave John a message. And why? In fact, let's go ahead and read the scripture. You know how I am. Amen. I don't like to talk too much. I like to give you some scriptures, and then we let the scriptures do the talking and preaching and teaching itself. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to Revelation, the first chapter. And we're going to take a look at verse 10. I kind of thought about this. I said, no, I want to start at Revelation, the 10th verse. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 10. Watch what John said.
All right,
John
all right.
Said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. I told you other than my dad. Amen. Amen. I told you other than my dad, the only other man that I heard preach on Revelation was when I first got saved. Amen. He came to the church. My pastor shared with him that I love the book of Revelation. And he spoke on this subject right here. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you know that on the Lord's day when Christ returns to get the church, that we will be in the Spirit as John was? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what I want to share with you is what John saw when he was in the Spirit, which is also what we are going to see and witness when we are in the Spirit and we are caught up to be with Christ. Amen. When the Bible said we will be with him forever. Lord, have mercy. That's
have mercy
to my soul, to know that I will be with my Lord and Savior for all eternity. No more pain, no more suffering in this life. See, we think a lot of times when saints leave this world, you doing all that crying and slobbering, amen, but they ain't suffering no more. No more pain, no more stress, no more people mistreating us, no more hateful people that don't want to be loving, no more fake people, amen. You know, I told you I can't stand fake people,
come
amen.
On,
we don't have to deal with getting up, going to work. We don't have to deal with aches and pains or whatever it is that you got to deal with, but your soul is at rest. And do you know your body, when they lay it to rest, amen, when you when they put you out on the ground, your body is resting. Amen. So watch what John said. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Now watch this. Now, John, before he even saw Christ, what did he do? He actually heard his voice.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He heard Christ's voice as if it was a trumpet. In other words, summoning him. Amen.
Come on.
Saying, watch what verse 11 said. It says, saying, I am what? I will live. Christ said, let me let you know who I am. Amen. Before you even look at me, I want you to know, amen, that this is real. I want you to know that I am the Alpha and Omega, first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Come
Lord
on with
be the
come
Lord.
On.
Amen. Amen. He said, I want you to give them this message. Amen. Now, what I want y'all to know tonight, amen, that only how many churches? Two out of the five churches, amen, Christ found worthy. We're going to come back to that thought, amen. And I want y'all to know, amen, that Christ is displeased with the church. Amen. That is true. You say, well, why is he displeased with the church? Amen. Because only five out of seven churches. Amen. I don't know if you good at math or not. Amen. But that's not a good turnout. Amen.
No.
You want to have more than five, two out of the seven churches. Amen. I mean, five churches still had condemnation. Amen. Meaning, basically, what I'm saying to you is, majority of the churchgoers are lost. Lord have mercy. Majority
have mercy.
Of the people that go to the churches are lost. Amen. And so we have to do better with this hour that we have left. Amen. Whether it be the rest of our lives, whether it be less than a year. Amen. Whatever time that God has given us, we have to do better spreading this gospel and letting
people know
that God loves you. Amen. Salvation is real. Amen. Repent. Because why? Amen. As my brother said, the king is coming. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. The king is coming back to get a church. And we want you all to be ready. So when Christ, when he descends out of heaven, the trumpet is going to sound. And we want you to be found worthy and accountable with us. So when he comes back to get the church, amen. Now watch this,
amen.
Verse 12 is where I want to really start, but I had to connect verses 10 and 11, amen, to let you know where I was coming from. So John said he had heard the voice, amen. So Christ told him who I was. And watch what John said. John said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some say lampstands, some say candlesticks. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. If you notice in verse 11, who's talking? Christ is
Christ.
Doing
Christ.
The cross. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, and I turned to see the voice. So I want you to know who this voice is. So when you see the red letters in the Bible, in the book, we know that it's who? The words
Jesus.
Of Christ. Amen, doctor. Say it again. Amen. This is Yahshua talking to John. So we don't get mixed up that John is talking to himself. He's talking to one of the other apostles. He's talking to someone in three. No, he's talking to Christ. And so in evidence of that, you say, well, how is he speaking with Christ? He said in verse 10 that I was in the spirit, meaning that he was caught up where? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
To meet Christ. Amen.
Woo.
When he saw him, amen, he said, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to read the verses, then I'm going to come back. He says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell, Lord have mercy, at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. amen, and
amen.
Have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou, Lord, have mercy, hast seen, and the things which are the things which shall be hereafter.
Yes,
the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels and the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let me kind of get into this a little bit before I turn it over to the brother. Amen.
Go ahead,
brother. Back just a little bit. Amen. I want to deal with the 10 things that John witnessed. And there were 10 things that John witnessed when he heard and saw Christ. Amen. Let me give him a note, Sal. Amen. Amen. I hope I didn't.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. I hope I didn't leave my stuff. Amen. It's been a busy, long day, brother. Amen. But God, to God be the glory. Amen. We're going to get in here and give the people some word. Amen. To last them till Wednesday night, something for them to go on and study and to do some research. Amen. On what we've been teaching here. Amen. All right. So there are 10 things. Amen. The first one, he was like what? Like unto the Son of Man.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? Mean that that Christ was born of what? Woman, which is the image of man, which is what? Adam. So remember remember in the beginning when God first created Adam, he created Adam a man, and he created Adam in his image. Amen? And so
yes,
he's saying is that he's like unto the Son of Man. In other words, he is like Adam. So how the way Adam looked, amen, this is how Christ looked, meaning that not that he looked exactly like him, but he was what? Of the human mankind.
Ooh,
amen?
Sir.
There was
yes,
a specific
sir.
Look to Christ and how he looked. Amen. And he looked like what? A human. This is what
hey,
he was. This
on.
Is what Satan was trying to stop when those fallen angels came to earth and made it with women, and they made it with creatures, and they made it with animals, which caused the creatures and certain monsters to come on the earth. They was trying to disturb and taint the bloodline. Amen.
Come
but,
on,
but John wants you to know that when I saw Christ, he wasn't something that some other than a man. He's letting you know that I had he was a man. So when we see Christ, when he come back to get to church, we'll know that yes, he is a man. Amen. So this is what he's saying. Now watch what he said. It said he retained his watch this. This is just some notes. He retained his earthly incarnate features. Amen. So we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. This is what's unique about the church, because we're going to get a glorified body. Come on now. Just like Christ, amen, had a glorified body. Amen. So let's go over to 1 John. Amen. Let's go over to 1 John. Let's look at some more scripture. You know I like to travel, doctor. Amen. You know I like to read the scriptures. 1 John, 3rd chapter. Verse 2. I love this verse. I got it marked in my Bible. 1 John, 3rd chapter, verse 2. It says, beloved. So who's he talking to when he says beloved? He's talking to the saints. Amen. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, beloved, now are we the what? Lord have mercy. We are the sons of God. And
it
do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear,
woo,
man, when he comes to get the church, this is what he's talking about, when he shall appear, when he come back to get the church, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There you go, doctor.
Yeah.
Amen. Now remember that he is the Son of God, and he's also the what? Son of man.
Son of
so when you are the Son of God, see, the angels are also called what? The sons of God, meaning that they bear a spiritual look, a spiritual angelic look. They have a glow beautiful white garments. Amen. They have this glow about them that makes them look what? Angelic, which means that they are what? The sons of God. And that's how we know that they're what? Angels from heaven. Amen. Because
yes,
angels have this, they have this certain look. So remember when Christ was resurrected. Amen. Let's see if I can get that real quick before I turn over to you, Doc. I got,
go ahead,
got a lot of things to cover. Amen. But we won't get into this today. I want to so see a lot of folks don't know these things. Amen. I remember just teaching this stuff in church. I'm like, man, y'all don't know this stuff? Let's go over to Luke. Amen. Luke.
Amen. Luke.
The 24th chapter, verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. Watch what it says. Amen. Verse 36, Luke 24th chapter. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. I like how Christ approaches. Notice that he always approaches gentle. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. He always comes peaceful. He always comes loving. That's how we ought to do as the saints of God. We ought to be peaceful and loving. Amen. But he said, watch verse 3. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. What does that mean? Amen. That spiritual, angelic look. So they was afraid when they saw. They knew it was Christ. Amen.
Uh-huh.
But he just looked different. He had this spiritual glow about him. He had the, now he appeared as what? One of the sons of God. Amen. Because they've heard through history and time how some of the angels sometimes appear. Now watch this. It said, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. See, he wants to confirm with them, it is me. Behold my hands and my feet. He had the prints in his hand and in his feet. Handle me, he said, and see. In other words, come on. Look at this. For a spirit had not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. He's showing you the contrast and the comparison, amen, between that of the sons of God, a spirit, and the son of man, which is flesh like Adam, amen, the human. And he said, verse 4, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not, Lord have mercy, for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you any meat? Amen. I'm going to stop right there.
Amen.
And read on your own. Amen. But I want to show you this is what John witnessed. Amen. This is how we are going to be when Christ come back to get the church.
Ooh.
We're going to look spiritual. We're going to have a brand new body. Amen. You ain't going to be able to say, man, is that Brother Jackson? Amen. Is that Pastor Jackson? Is that Elder Bazaar?
Yeah.
Man, you're going to look your best. Amen.
Yeah,
why?
Man.
Because you want to know why? He has the keys to death and hell. Amen.
Yeah.
So when you are born, did you know that you are born dying? Soon as you come out your mother's womb, you are born dying. That's why we age. That's why we get sores and marks on our bodies and imperfections. Because of why? Because of sin. Because of man falling from God's grace. Amen. I tell people all the time, man, if Adam and Eve could see us, they'd be like, man, they are y'all sick or what? Because you want to know why. Amen. Amen. Because when they was in the garden, man, they was immaculate. They was perfect. Amen. But I want to share this portion. I got some more to go. I got some more things to share with you. But I want to break that down for you. Amen. This is just the start of it. Amen. Because the second thing was he had clothed with a garment down to his foot. So when you get your brand new, man, you ain't going to need your clothes you got here. He going to give you a garment that's going to be down to your foot. You ain't going to need no shoes. Shoes for what? Shoes is for it. That's for you not to hurt your feet. But in heaven, you're going to walk on streets of gold. You won't even need no shoes. Amen. He said he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. Amen. We're going to come back and give the brother some, amen. Let him go ahead and start. And we're going to come back and touch some more on the vision of Christ in his glory. Go ahead, doctor.
All right, all right. Revelation, John. The revealing Christ. Revelation means the revealing Christ. God gave it to angels. The angels gave it to John, and John gave it to the seven churches of Asia Minor to reveal the unrevealed Christ. Christ was revealed in the time that he came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was revealed in the flesh. This time, he's going to be revealed in the spirit. He's going to have his spiritual body. He had to have a natural body. He had to be born as a human being in order to suffer for sins of man. If Christ wouldn't have came to suffer for our sins, Brother Bazard would be in hell. You would be in hell. The whole That's world right. would be lost. But God, with his infinite power and wisdom and understanding and perfect and self-existent one, and one thing God has, he has a lot of love. Ooh, you talking about love. People talk about getting in love, but let me tell you, let the love of Jesus Christ come into your heart. Let it come on in. I guarantee you, you can't hold your peace, because he loved the world so much that he was willing enough to give over his only son. He don't have no more son. No more sons to be around. This is the first and the last. That's why he said to John, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation is the end time prophecy that covers all the way over to the last book in the Bible before Revelation. That's the book of Jude. When you get to Jude, you're getting ready to get into some deep stuff. You're getting judgment. First time Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to judge. He come to save. Save what? Your soul. That's the only thing you got that will last forever. There's only two places you can go. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. And majority of the world, as the brother said, majority of the southern churches of Asia Minor, they wasn't lost, but they was compromising. They didn't hold up the holiness of God. They was scrutinizing the word of God. They were bringing the word of God. They was bringing new doctrines in the church that was causing the church to error. So there was only two churches. And those two churches that stood up above the other five was Smyrna and it was Philadelphia. Smyrna means persecution. That's when the church was persecuted. For what? For righteousness, for the cause of Christ, for his love and for his mercy. Because one thing about the devil, he don't like nothing to do with holiness. Why? Because he once was holy. He once was a holy angel, but he became depraved. He became sick puppet. He became rebellious against God. He can't stand God. He can't stand holiness. And somebody had to die for the sins of man after Adam and Eve had disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. The whole human race, from Adam to the present day, every human being, ain't nobody was born sinless but Jesus Christ. And the only way he could be born sinless, he had to be God, because God cannot commit sin. God hates sin. God resents sin. God will not compromise with sin. The only way God could get rid of sin was he knew that he had to D-I-E, die. He had to be what? A sin offering. The first time Jesus Christ came, they tell me they mutilated him. They crucified him. They beat him. They spat upon him. They plucked his hair out of his head, and they plucked his out of his beard. They whipped him. They nailed him. Ooh, good God Almighty. They nailed God because of sin, because of the iniquity that Satan brought up on the human race. And the world today is living in sin. That's why you've got tragedies. That's why you've got storms. That's why you've got earthquakes. That's why you've got people murdering and raping. You got people doing everything the opposite of what God called man to be, because of Luciferians, because of the Illuminati, because of the Kabbalahs, and because of the secret society that's the main agent the main agent of Satan working behind mankind to try to defeat God's purpose. But in Revelation, it shows you the second revealing of Jesus Christ. The first time
Amen.
Jesus Christ was revealed, born in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And if you want to really know what they've done to him, good God Almighty, read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah gives you a picture of Christ suffering for what? Your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world. And God revealed himself in Jesus Christ. He had no sin. He knew no sin. But he became what? A sin offering. He paid the price for sin. The first time he rode on the colt of an ass through Jerusalem. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But the second time Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, he's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back on a charger. He's coming back with the saints of God. He's coming back in power and great glory. He's coming back with to judge the world in righteousness. And Revelation, the whole 22 chapters of Revelation says that when Revelation is done, at the 19th chapter of Revelation, the 11th verse, Christ will be revealed to the earth. Woo, the whole
Amen.
World. Lord have mercy. The whole world is going to see Jesus Christ. Every
Amen.
Dirty eye, every wicked eye, every white eye, every black eye, every eye will see him. They didn't see him the first time. Only a few people saw him being born, and only a few people saw him do miracles.
That's right.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't see it, but that's all right. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to see him the second time. I'm going to see him as a full-grown man, glorified body. And they tell me he ain't going to be wearing no stained blood garments. He's not going to be whipped on no more. He's not going to be spit on no more. He's not going to be denied no more. He's not going to be crucified no more. And when we see him, they tell me, the Bible says in the first chapter of Revelation, that the seventh verse, he said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and those that pierce him. And the world is going to wail because of him. And I know there was a song back there in the 60s that said there's a whole lot of wailing going on. But let me tell you, there ain't going to be nothing compared to the wailing when the world see what Jesus
That's
Christ
right.
looked like, what he's going to
That's
him.
Right.
And there won't be no more jokes. There won't be no more clowning. There won't be no more church service. There won't be no more collection of offers. There won't be nobody telling me to send me some money so I can get a $65 million jet plane. Woo! There ain't going to be nobody hanky-panky. There ain't going to be no hypocrites, because the Bible said they're going to wail with a great noise. And the
Amen.
seven churches that had to be recompensed. They had to repent. And the Philadelphia church represents the evangelistic church. We are living in the evangelistic church age now. We're living in the
right.
course of the church of Laodicea. And the reason why Laodicea was rebuked, because they were lukewarm. They neither were hot nor cold. They were half and half. They were humanists. Or they were Satanists. They were Luciferians. And there's a lot of people that have a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. In order to live in a sin-cursed world, you got to have the Holy Ghost power. You got to have sanctified power. You got to have the power of love to get out there and tell folks that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And if you don't believe me, look what he's going to look like. He's going to have a royal tuxedo on. Good God Almighty. But why? Because that tuxedo is going to be what? It's going to be like a golden girdle wrapped around. It's going to be a long gown down to his feet. His feet going to be like
Amen.
Fine bread to represent judgment. His eyes would be
Amen.
Like flame of fire shooting out. And when you see his eyes, they tell me his eyes would be penetrating. And one thing about the eyes of the Lord God Almighty, he can see through anything. Good God
That's
Almighty.
Right.
He knows. He knows your secret sins. He knows your commission of sin. He knows
Amen.
your belief. He He knows every sin you are thinking about, and he knows before you even hit your mind. He's got an all-seeing eye. And John, I said, listen to me. I said, John was a man of righteousness. John was a man of holiness. John was a man that loved the Lord. John was a man, and all that he had, John heard the voice. He heard his voice, and he said, hey, he said, I am that I am, and I am the beginning, and I am the end. And John fell down. Uh-oh. I said, John fell down like a dead man. In other words, it almost caused death. Woo! That's how bright he is. That's how serene he is. That's how holy he is. And John said, oh, I'm unbearable to even look at him. I'm unbearable to even touch him. And he touched me.
Right.
And when he touched me, he said, fear not. Fear not, John. Don't worry. I got everything under control. He said, I am the first and the last. Right
Amen.
To the seven churches of Asia Minor. He right to Ephesus, right to Smyrna, right to Pergamos, right to Thyatira, right to Sardis, right, boy. I want you to write to Philadelphia. I want you to write to Laodicea. And Laodicea is the now modern day church age. We are living in the last church age, because Laodicea reminds me of a lukewarm, hypocritical apostasy. There's all kind of stuff going in the church of Laodicea. There's almost sexuality going. There's lesbianism going on. There's adultery and fornication going on. There's alcoholics going on. And folks are going to church, but they're still an alcoholic. They're going to church and still a whoremonger. They're going to church and still a liar. But they're saying that they're saved. But let me tell you, you're a lying wonder, because the only way you can receive salvation, the only way that you can receive salvation and know that you've been born again, somebody told me, you got to go to Calvary's cross. You got to go to Calvary. You got to go to Calvary's cross before you ever can know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ,
man.
God Almighty in the flesh.
Come on,
He came
doctor.
In the flesh, but the second time he coming in a spiritual body. He will be all spirit. He will be sanctified spirit, because he took our sins. When he took our sins, he blew them out of smithereens. He takes your sins and smothers them. He only not smother, but he removes sin out of your soul, out of your spirit. Why? Because the only power, I'm not talking about dynamite power. I'm not talking about the A-bomb. I'm not talking about the C-bomb. I'm not talking about little boy, big boy bomb. I'm not talking about dynamite. I'm talking about a bomb that come from Gilead. A bomb that can reach down in your soul and change your life. If you have not been changed, if you have not been converted, if you have not been redeemed, if you have not been sanctified, your soul is in sin. The only thing that can sanctify your soul and set you apart from sin is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ done, he became sin that knew no sin. By him not knowing sin, he became a sin offering. Guess what? By him being human, he was able to absorb every sin that man made from the Garden of Eden all the way to this present day we're living in. He became a sinner. Uh-oh. No, he didn't. No. Jesus could be a sinner. No. What was it when he took your sins? He took your sins and nailed them to the cross. But one
Amen.
Thing about it, that nails, that hammer, and hanging up there didn't do nothing but give God the opportunity to pay the penalty for sin. And since he paid the penalty for sin, the only way that man can be saved, he's got to come to Jesus Christ. He's got to come to Jesus Christ. He's got to repent of his sin. He's got to turn from his evil, wicked way backwards, upside down. Dog, the sin is dog. Sin is destructive, and it's destroying people's souls today.
Yes,
when
it is.
When you die, listen to me, sir.
Yes,
listen to me. If you die without Jesus Christ, guess where you're going? You're going to hell. You're not just going to hell of adultery. You ain't going to hell because you gamble. You're going to hell because you did what? You rejected the sacrificial blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross. You beat him up. You crucified. Every individual on this planet is guilty for killing Jesus Christ. We all are murderers. We all are low down. We all used to be low down. We all are backwards. We all are turned and twisted by the power of Satan. And the only thing that can break that power is Jesus Christ. In that first chapter that the brother read, it's an introduction of the unrevealing Christ that's going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. And when Christ comes back, it's going to light the whole heavens. The whole heaven will be lit up by the glorified Christ. And as we go into Revelation, we're going to read exactly, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. We're going to give you the exact chapter in which Christ will rapture the church. We're going to show you the rapture of the church. And I'll tell you right now before we even get to it, it's the fourth chapter where the church will be raptured up by Christ. And we are going to see him just like John saw him.
Yeah,
and I believe, this is the spirit of mine, I believe when we get there, every individual that's saved is going to fall down at his feet.
Yeah,
and the Lord,
that's right.
Fear not. I am the beginning and I am the end. I'm going to show you now what's going to happen on earth after or in heaven. And God is going to reveal, when the church is raptured up, God is going to reveal Revelation from the fourth chapter all the way to the 22nd chapter. He's going to reveal to the church exactly what's going to happen. And now is the more proper time for anybody to come to Jesus Christ. This
That's
world
right.
ain't got a dime to offer you. Nothing.
Sure don't.
I don't care. I don't care. You talk about money and cars and all this stuff that millions are trying to hoard up and try to store. You talk about folks going in the ground and digging in the ground to protect themselves from what's coming. Ain't nothing going to protect you if you don't know Jesus
Tell
Christ. You don't have Jesus
Tell
Christ in your life. You ain't got no protection. The police can't do it. The FI, the CIA, and the FBI can't do it. It's going to take Jesus Christ for you to go through the tribulation period. And one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to what? You don't want to miss the rapture, and you don't want to go to hell. And if you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you don't humble yourself and repent and turn from sin. You got to turn from sin. You got to hate sin. If you don't hate sin, you're gonna love righteousness to your grave. Folks are dying right now in their sins, in hospitals and in the prison house. They're dying. In the resentment, the hatred of Jesus Christ, they don't want it. They don't want nobody to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Guess what? If they die without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, hell is too hot for anybody to go. It's too hot. You don't want to go. And if you go, it's going to be nobody's fault but yours. So if I was you, I would do like Apostle Paul said. He said, if a man come to him, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be
Amen.
Saved. And by
That's
you being saved, you are saying, Lord, I hate sin. Lord, I'm
That's
sorry
right.
for my sin. Lord, I resent me sinning against a holy, holy, holy
Man.
God.
Yes, sir.
God cannot take sin. He can't.
Amen.
If you got sin in you, when you die, if you got sin by rejecting Jesus Christ and you die without Christ, you have to go to hell. I don't want you to go. Jesus wants you to go. My dog and cat, if they could talk, they'd say, I don't want you to go. Because hell is too long, too hot, ain't no rest, ain't no peace, ain't nothing. Ain't going to be no jamming, ain't going to be no R&B, ain't going to be no sympathy music. They ain't gonna hear the same gospel in hell because hell don't want the gospel. If you don't want the gospel, you don't like gospel songs. If you don't know Jesus
Amen.
Christ, you can hear the gospel song with what? With enthusiasm, with hope, with joy, with peace. Some people trying to sing, but it ain't in the spirit. And the only way you can be in the spirit is the spirit has to be in you. This is revelation in the beginning because we're gonna work with those seven churches. But we want to introduce
Amen.
You now. We're going to introduce you now what Christ is going to look like when he opens the sky up and the whole
Lord
world.
Lord have mercy.
You're going to see him in the royal tuxedo. He's got a bad dressing wardrobe. Woo,
yes,
that wardrobe. He's got a wardrobe for those that have been sanctified. He's got a wardrobe for every saint. A change of apparel. Amen. When we come back on white horses, I said, you hear what I said? I said, we're coming back on white horses. When we come back on white horses, we are coming back to judge the world with Jesus
yes,
Christ. And all the laughing, all the joke, all the partying is going to stop.
Yes, it is.
The Bible says in Revelation, whoever is just, let him be just still. Whoever is wicked, let it be wicked still. Whoever is lying, let it be lying. In other words, when Christ opened his eyes up, amen, don't try to change. Be exactly what you are. If you are a liar when Jesus Christ comes back, don't try to tell you didn't lie. A gambler, don't try to run out of law, baby, and drop your money and say, no, I'm all right. No, you ain't all right. You got caught. And there's a lot of laughing that's going on now. There's a lot of joking going on now. But when Christ opened that sky, it's going to be over.
And yes, it is.
People are going to lose their mind when they see Jesus. Oh, my God. They're going to lose their mind. They said, this is really real. Yeah. Oh, Christ is here. And I know I ain't saved. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And the world is saying, it ain't going to happen. But Revelation says, and the word of God says, it's going to happen. So when you read Revelation, and I advise you, if you can, read what the brother just said. Take your time and read it and see exactly what he read. So you will know we ain't making up this. We didn't get this from DC Comics. Magazine. We didn't get it from Playboy or Penthouse. We got it straight from the word of God.
That's
and
right.
Jesus
Amen.
Christ is telling us now, get ready. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be. Brother, work with it. Work with
it. Amen, brother. Awesome, brother. Amen. I like what you said. Amen. When you say you got to repent. You have to change. You got to turn. Amen.
Yeah.
And you have to turn. You have to change. You know, there used to be a saying, amen, they used to say when I was growing up, they used to say, when you know better, you do better. And that's true. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the warning. Christ gave John a warning to the churches. Amen. Let's take a look at that. Amen. And understand what we're saying. Understand what I'm saying. Amen. I'm not saying that one complete church was lost. I'm just saying majority of the people in a certain church, amen, was not walking with Christ. They're like today. Amen. You go to a church, amen, and there are some people in there that are lost. Amen. And you
yes,
got some
yes,
folks in there that are saved. Amen. You know, the pastor may not be teaching and teaching correctly, amen, which doesn't help the salvation in the church, amen. But you got some folks that have just accepted Christ. Maybe they know the Bible on their own, or maybe they just humbled their heart and say, Lord, you know, I want to be with you forever. I believe in you. And they became saved, amen, because I don't want no one to think that you have to know the plan of salvation verbatim. No, we're not saying that. You can simply pull out the God, open up your heart to God, and he's going to come in. Amen. Amen. God understands. Amen. When you believe in him and you trust him, he knows. Amen. Amen. But what we're saying is that, amen, we don't want you to miss out on this beautiful opportunity. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to come back. Amen. If we have a little time, if not, I may have to come back. Amen. Well, I may just go and share it with you right now. Amen. Let me share this with you. This is
go
the
ahead,
seven
brother.
Church.
Go ahead.
And amen. This is the seven churches. And the first two churches are Smyrna and Philadelphia. Amen. Now, these were considered very good churches. Why? Because mainly, so they were heavily persecuted, but they were humble. Amen. That, in other words, you know, amen, they weren't acting phony and fake. They were humble. Amen. They were loving and caring. Usually when you have humble people, amen, this is a good class of people to be around. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But these two churches, amen, Christ looked at, and the majority of the people in the churches, hey, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. This is the Church of Smyrna in Philadelphia. Now, also
yes,
know that Philadelphia and Laodicea are end time churches. Amen. In other words, they represent, amen, even though these were churches that John wrote this message to during his time while he was on the Isle of Patmos, the churches that represent the end time was the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia was the true. The Church of Laodicea was the false. Amen. Because of the things that they dealt in. Now, the church that was in Pergamum believed in Christ, but openly permitted other pagan doctrines full of opinions and interpretations that sometimes went against the very nature of Christ. You can't have that. Amen. You can't have sometimes you got people who just agree with people. Amen. They'll let people come in and play instruments and sing in the choir, run around the church, and they are not of God. Amen.
I'm
just using that as an example. But with this, they permitted other pagan doctrines. In other words, they brought in, hey, well, this is what we believe, and they allowed that into the church or Pergamos. Amen. So it's also nicknamed Pergamum. But they believed in Christ. Amen. It's just that they accepted other false doctrines. Amen. You don't want to do that. Amen. Because Paul talked about, amen, how we supposed to stay faithful. What? If anybody bring in any other doctrine, amen.
Yes,
Paul said we didn't have anything to do with that. Amen. But this was the church of Pergamos. Amen. They did that. Amen. Let's take a look. The church in Ephesus, amen. This is a pretty famous church of Ephesians, amen. The church in Ephesus was very strict in teachings, but was falling away from the teachings of Christ, amen. In other words, they kind of begin to fall away, amen. They were kind of more religious, amen. But they
held
to the teachings, amen. But they just, you know how sometimes people are just religious. I know, like, when I was growing up, like, let's say, for example, I grew up in a Baptist church, but my wife grew up in a Pentecostal Church of God of Christ. Everything's called Kojic, Church of God of Christ. They couldn't wear pants. They couldn't wear lipstick. They couldn't wear jeans. They couldn't do this. I said, man, why y'all can't do all this stuff? Well, that's how they was raised. They was strict. Amen. Amen. But don't get me wrong. Amen. Some religion and strict religion is good. It's good to be religious.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When you do it with according to the teachers of the Bible, amen, because you don't want your young women and your women and your wives, amen, bro, you don't want to walk around with the boobs all out. And you know, I know they used to make these pants that were very popular back in the early 2000s, amen. The women actually could show part of their butt, amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. You don't want, and I'm serious, brother, amen, there used to be a time when that stuff was popular in the early 2000s. You could go to a church. I'll never forget, I went to this church, man. We were doing something. They were doing some praise and worship, and we was, you know, going down to pray. Man, this woman, my wife, almost hadn't happened to know. You could see her little, what they call a thong, sticking out her butt. I was like, Lord have mercy. And I know this woman can feel, I know she can feel that. Hey, man, you know, you can feel breezes on your body. Hey, Lord have, say it again, doctor. You can feel breezes on your body, especially on your butt. You know if it's out or not. And I'm like, man, why would she come to church like that? But this was very popular in the area. It's up time you see it now, you don't see it as much as you used to. Women have gotten away from that because it, you know, it was a shameful thing. People were kept on shaming them about that. But it was highly popular coming out of the late 90s to the early. Man, on my job, man, it got so bad that the maturing age women had to go to the HR department to make HR make it mandatory that them women couldn't work. They couldn't do that no more. But, man, the women would come to work. Man, you can see all kind of undergarments and all kind of stuff. Hey, man, so all I'm saying to you, hey, man, it's okay to be strict, amen, and have some type of rules and religion on certain things because we understand, amen, you don't want people to get too far along because you don't have if you don't have some rules or some regular, if you can't talk. So I remember back in the day, man, the older women, the mature age women, man, they used to talk to them young women about that stuff. They pulled them young women aside and say, sister, where you going with that tight dress on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Man, even in the Baptist church, they used to call them the old sister because they used to wear their dresses down to their ankles. When I was coming up in church, my mom was the mother of the church. Man, you wouldn't see no shape in no church. You couldn't. They would shame you back then for wearing stuff like that. Like, well, young lady, what you doing with that? You know, but now folks have gotten away from certain things.
And
so much
is
allowed now. Amen. Hey, folks will tell you off these days. So you know, some folks just back off.
Yeah,
you're right about that, doctor. But you know, you've been a time when we were humble. People that was maturing ages and older would tell us something that was shameful. And it wasn't about us being bigger than them, stronger than them, or nothing like that. It was just being humble. If an elder, it don't matter who they were, if they told you something, you knew better. You know better than that. You know, old brother, elder in the church, a brother or deacon comes to you, young man, you know better than that. It had nothing to do with you would just humble yourself and say, yes, sir, and you wouldn't do it again. You apologize and you move on. Amen. That's how we were. And we were big, amen. We played sport, but we respected the older gentleman in the church. He could be smaller, but we will respect. Nowadays, boy, you tell these young folks something, man, you better be careful because some of these folks are threatening to shoot you. Amen. So you have to be very careful. I mean, some of the young men, some people are raised right, but you just say you just got to be careful now because not everybody's taking that. Amen. Amen. That's the church of Ephesus. Amen. They were falling away from Yahshua and his teachings. Amen. And we want to make sure that we stick with the Bible because, you know, sometimes, man, I remember to never forget, amen, brother, this pastor that this guy, he used to be under my dad. And this was long before when I first got saved. He came out to visit my dad. He came to the house. Man, he was teaching so much false. I wasn't even that well versed in the Bible yet. But I knew the stuff he was teaching. This brother here is just taking the Bible and just making up his own stuff. I said, man, I hope you ain't teaching nobody this stuff. But this stuff is very, very important what we're saying. Because why? Know who you're on. That's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved. Meaning that you study yourself. You learn the Bible yourself. Don't take what I'm saying. Don't take what just what the elder said. But go back and study and research on your own. Everybody now, amen, especially this day and time, is pretty versed to educate, amen. And so what I'm saying to you is you should not just be just taking somebody's word for it in the church and just assuming that they're right. Amen. All right. The church in Thyatira was jealous and enthusiastic, but still permitted the Jezebel's heresy. Amen. So
Come on.
You got to be careful with some of this stuff. Amen. I'm not going to say some things. Amen. I know sometimes I'm not saying that the Jezebel spirit is always associated with a woman minister or a woman pastor. I'm not saying that, but just saying that even just the Jezebel spirit, just aside from that, amen. You got to be careful, amen, about allowing certain things to go in the church and in the church ministry. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying who can or who shouldn't, amen. I know what I believe. I know what the scripture's saying. But, amen, but you got to be very, very careful, amen, about certain heresies and heretics in the church. A lot of people say that they're for God or not. They're serving the devil. Brother, I don't know if you're aware, but they said that there is a huge influx of witches and necromancers tarot reading. And there was one more that's very popular. I can't think of what it is. but it's associated with witches. And what I'm saying to you is that witch is witchcraft, but it's something else. It's called, I just can't think of what it is. It'll come to me later, or I remember one day and bring it back to you. But what I want to say was yoga. A lot
yoga.
Of women are getting into this. Man, and I recently found it, well, it makes sense, but yoga is demonic. You have to be careful. Yeah, and what they're trying to do, man, they try to mix this stuff in with the Bible. And see, people got to be aware of that stuff. Stop accepting everything from the world or other religions and try to include it into ours, because, no, God, there's only one God that we serve. We're going to stick to his doctrine. Don't come bring me stuff from those tarot cards talking about you believe in God. I saw this one woman. She was doing something with tarot cards, but she tried to mix God, and I was like, boy, the devil think he's slick. See, you got to be wary of these types of things. You got to be careful about these types of things, because these folks out here, they'll trick you into something you think has got something to do with God, and got nothing to do with God. But see, when we study and read our Bible, we know about it. And let me tell you something. Don't think they don't know who know the Bible. Because, they know who to play with. See, they know
that's
if you're
right.
weak or you don't study your Bible. They know they can sit there and talk. But see, we'll stop them in a heartbeat. Sister, no, sir. No, sister. That ain't the Bible. That ain't God. That ain't Yahweh. Amen. You can take that somewhere
that's
else.
Right.
See, we stop that
that's
foolishness.
Right.
Amen. Right on the dime.
Yes,
I don't have to stop people in the past, and I talk to them in a loving way, because the Bible said to share the truth in love. Sister, we come with peace and love, but we don't accept no false doctrine. Brother, because there's some men out there, too, so there's a lot of men and women. Brother, we don't accept that. Man, I had a Muslim brother try to talk to me. Brother, no, sir. That ain't got nothing. Man, a lot of folks try to be scared of folks. Man, we fear in the Bible. Said, well, he gives us we don't have the spirit of fear. I don't care what religious organization or cult you're part of. We're going to call you out if you try to come on this side, and don't try to attack us, because we stand on the word. The most powerful book.
Right.
There you go. Amen. Amen. Moving right along. Amen. Laodicea, the church in Laodicea, and the church in Sardis had what? Memberships composed mostly of the ruling class. Woo! We are in the Laodicean church. The church is probably the richest that it's ever been.
Come on.
Churches now can bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars a Sunday. They can bring in, millions of dollars a Sunday. I ain't going to say the name of the church or its pastor. Amen. But I had a friend, a good member, tell me. I was in shock, brother, when he told me this. When she told me this. The sister said that, and she's a minister. She got her little ministry thing at the church, and we were a real good friend, real loving sister. I love the sister spirit, I really do. But she was sharing with me how the bank, with the armored trucks, had to come to the church and pick up the money. Brother, you should have saw me. Man, my jaw must hit the floor. I said, you got to be careful. Armored trucks? They got that much money coming out? I said, yes, sir, every Sunday. Got armored trucks to pick up the cash and take it to the bank. Now, I don't know how you can trust somebody at the bank to just give you, I don't know if they count it first, but I don't know if you can just trust somebody with that. But amen. Amen. To each his own. But I'm just saying, amen. This is the ruling class, people who have businesses, the entrepreneurs, people who are in the government, politics, judges, lawyers, doctors. Amen. You name it, people who are big businessmen, CEOs, that go to certain, these are the room people who have a say-so. Especially over in Laodicea, amen. Sardis, but the people of Laodicea, I'm going to go over there and read a verse, amen. Revelation, the third chapter. Watch what it says. Revelation, the third chapter. Amen. Revelation 3rd chapter, verse 17. It says, because thou sayest, and you can study this, I am rich. And that's literally meaning that I don't have need of what? Nothing. So richness don't always have to be money. See, people think when you say rich, amen, that you have to be a multimillionaire or like Jerry Jones or Bill Gates. It's not necessarily saying that, but it is inclusive, meaning that it includes people who have money. Basically, this is a person that said, I have need of nothing. So I can be rich in friends, meaning if I have 50 friends, I have no need of what? Nothing. I have no need of friends. I'm not a person that has no friends. I'm not a person that has only one or two friends. But when it comes to friends, I have no need of friends. I got what? Plenty of them. I have need of nothing. So whether you have, let's say you have houses. You may be some person in real estate, own 30 houses. You say, man, I ain't got to worry about a place to live. Oh, I got a house. I am rich.
Yeah.
And what real estate? I have what? Need of nothing when it comes to a house. So this is what that's what that really means. If you go back and study that, that means I am rich. Rich meaning what? Wealthy in whatever it is, meaning I have no need. If it's wealthy in food or clothes, you may have a closet. I met a woman, amen. I know a woman, amen. I met her sister's real good friend. She said, bro, she have over 200 pair of shoes. Brother, I look at that woman like, what in the world? Why would you have that many pair of shoes? Cause I know women's shoes ain't cheap. Trust me, I know because I got a wife. And them things, and they press around them high heel things, and I don't know. I'm like, man, that stuff ain't cheap. I mean, sometimes I guess they get them cheap. I know men, everything is expensive for us. Amen. But maybe they got some type of, maybe our women shop more. Maybe they are cheap. But she got 200 pair of shoes, and I say, Lord have mercy. So when we see that, she is rich in what? Shoes. She has no what? Need of nothing, meaning that
nothing.
She has no need for shoes. So she has what? Plenty of shoes. 200 pairs. I think myself, how the way you ever get to wear them in a lifetime? I can imagine having 200 pairs. I would never get to wear all them things. I don't know how you come to buying that many shoes. Amen. But the scripture says, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, which you already know what that means. I just explained it. And have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See how the scripture said, well, you may be rich in earthly things and goods on earth, but spiritually you are what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Lord, how much what Christ told us. Amen. So this was the church of Laodicea, the ruling class, and they were what? Thoroughly pagan in nature. Don't that sound like the world we live in now? Amen. They follow the world. They in love. Don't you know that's paganism when you idolize the world? That's paganism.
Yeah. Paganism.
You want money. You want cars. You every time you look up, you chasing the dollar. Oh man, you just got to have the latest and the greatest, the newest iPhone, the newest computer. That's a form of paganism because you're idolizing. And what happens with paganism? That's really where it comes from. And when you begin to idolize the world, be like the world, because we know that the world teaches what? It's all about self. Did you know that?
All right.
It's all about me. Brother, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let me finish reading this. And there was a hint of what? A belief in Christ, meaning that what? They used the Bible. But the belief was not followed with Christ-like lifestyles. We see that
come
in
on.
The church now. Man, folks that have got nice cars, nice house, they are so pompous, brother. They walk the nose in the air. They don't even know you. They know you, but they ain't talking to you. Man, I've dealt with that for many years in the church. I could not ever understand that. Why folks walk around like they're high and mighty. Well, man, I tell folks in the heartbeat, you got blood running through your veins just like me, so you'll know better than me. Amen? Amen. Before I give it over to the brother, I want to share this real quick. Amen. Because we talked about how he was clothed with a garment down to the foot, back to Revelation 1, and a girdle about the paps with the golden girdle. The brother talked about this, amen, this represents, symbolizes readiness and strength, like a girded warrior, amen. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as the snow. The Son has the same purity in eternity as the Father. Ancient of Days, Go and read Daniel 7 and 9. I'm not going to do it right now for the sake of time, but we're going to continue. I'm going to continue these 10 different things that John visualized. We're going to come back and revisit this. I am on Wednesday night, but I want to get started and share this with you and this teaching. So hopefully something was said tonight to bless your heart, to bless your spirit. Amen. I'm going to give it over to the brother, and when he give it back over to me, amen, we're going to talk about, amen, salvation. Go ahead, doctor.
All right. We're too hot to trot, and I believe in rock and roll. Jesus Christ is my rock, and my name is written on the roll. I want to let you know right now, it's two churches. I don't know how long to do this. Hope I can do it within at least 8 minutes. There's two kind of churches on the earth today. There's the false church and the true church. There are two people on the planet, and there's false people on the planet. Majority of the world is fake, phony. People got a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. People who have never had a divine revelation and experience of a changed life. And what's done happen, some of these folks are called paganists and paganism, because paganism is anything opposite of God. Anything that you try to serve is paganism. God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy mind, all thy soul, all thy heart. Love the Lord thy God as you love your neighbor, and love your neighbor as you love God. There's two churches. The first church that gave an example of true holiness was Israel. Israel was a chosen people to be holy unto the Lord. And they was not introduced to paganism until they got up in the land flowing with milk and honey and going through the wilderness. They began to compromise with the teachings of the paganism. And paganism is heathens. And Gentile nations are considered heathen nations. They had all kind of gods. They had over 13 different kinds of gods in the Old Testament. There's over 3,000. There's 3,000 different kinds of religion worldwide. Maybe more than that. Worldwide, there's paganism. They don't know God. They might hear. They heard about God, but they don't know God. God didn't introduce the world to Himself until He got Israel straightened out. And for the first 400 years, Israel was pretty straight. But what they began to do, they began to do what the paganism, and God had to bring judgment on them. So God didn't respect the person, whether you're Jew or Gentile. The Jews could suffer a judgment, same as the Gentiles. But the Jews made an excuse that they didn't want the Messiah, so the Lord gave it to the Gentiles. The Gentiles have received it during the time of Christ came here on earth, and he engrafted the Gentiles in, and the Gentiles talking about Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years. Now they want to give him up because the Gentiles really should be on fire for God. They should be turning out revivals. Preachers should be preaching. Men should be getting saved. Young folks should be getting saved. Why? Because the church has failed. The church has failed. The church has went into paganism.
Yes,
they believe in world teachings and world denominations and world education and world prestige and what you wear. So paganism is the devil. They didn't get to the church. But God said, I'm going to send Israel. And Israel failed God. But we know this one thing. In the last days, God is going to bring Israel back. And they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom in the seven-year tribulation period. They're going to preach with 144,000. And they're going to preach with what? They're going to preach with the two witnesses. And guess what? It's going to turn the world upside down. And the world is going to get angry at the 144,000, and they're going to get angry at the two prophets. Why? Because God requires holiness. He requires righteousness. So Israel failed. God brought the church on. Church was all right for the first, I would say, first 200 to 300 years. Church was prosperous. But when they joined in with the paganism and began to unite with the paganism, they began to go for the world. They backslid. Some folks were professing to be no Christ and wasn't known, and they was working in the church. So the two churches I'm going to talk about, the first one I'm going to read is the first sample of what God requires the church to do was in Israel. Now, in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he gives another plain writ. Fifth chapter of Ephesians says this. It says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself into your own husband as into the Lord. This is church now. This is church doctrine. This is what God requires. He says, wives, submit yourself into your husband as into the Lord. For the husband is what? The head of the church, ahead of the wife. The man is the head of the family. He is the, is the in and out. He is the first and the last, as I may speak there. The wife is to be on her side and be as one in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, not the preacher, not the deacon, not the sister, not the pope, not the pope. Not no cardinal, not no nun. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Jesus Christ is the savior of the church. What people can't get a hold of that. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the ruler. He's the first and the last. And he said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband and not somebody else. No, he didn't say that. It says, into their own husband in everything pertaining to the Lord. Anything that's out of the scripture, the wife by her being the wife and knowing the Spirit of God, she don't have to obey the husband. But as far as in the Lord, the wife is to obey the husband in the Lord. That's the church.
Come on.
Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might, now here's the true church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present unto himself a what? A glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's the true
Amen.
Church.
Amen. Amen.
Born on Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, second chapter of the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You hear what I said? First thing I said was holy, and it's a ghost. It exists, but you can't see it. It exists, and you can. It exists, and it can make you shout. It'll make you love. It'll make you do the thing pertaining to the will of God. If you walk in the Spirit and be obedient to the Spirit, good God Almighty, you're doing what God tells you to do. You're saying what God tells you to say, and you're doing, and you're helping people. You're telling people what did Jesus Christ say? Go back down to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, and he shall send you the Holy Ghost, and you shall be what? Not a gambler, not a drunkard, not a liar. He said, you should be a witness. A witness for who?
Right.
A witness for Christ. That's the duty of the church worldwide, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to let the world know that he died. He went down in the grave. He got up on the third day morning, and they saw all those apostles preach. They didn't preach nothing but Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, I don't know nothing else. I don't preach nothing else. He said, I'm sure of one thing. He said, one thing I do know. I know Jesus Christ is him saved and crucified. What is the church is preaching today? They're not preaching the crucifixion. They're not preaching the birth, death, and the resurrection. They're not preaching holiness. They're not preaching righteousness. They're not preaching love and showing love in the church today. More than a guy on the street. Woo! Some people on the street get better along than some folks in the church. Why? Because people have gone into paganism. They have worshipped themselves. They worship the preacher. They worship the money giving. They worship the bingo. They worship everything but the sanctification and the holiness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because number one, the devil knows that if he can get people away from the cross, he can tear your soul up. He can rip your soul apart. Because the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ can only make a holy church. And they tell me when they came out of the day of Pentecost, every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was so powerful, the men stood up and said, hey, what must we do in order to be saved? How many churches today that people come into the house of God and say, hey, y'all, Look at here. What is it that y'all got that I need? What is it? It says, show me. Show me. And most of the churches can't even show you because they ain't living it themselves. You can't preach the gospel, live the gospel, and do all kind of dirty deeds and work, lie, cheat, steal, backbite, criticize, and you got that in a false church. That's in the false church. Now, you want to hear about the false church? Good God Almighty. And I'm going to give it to the brother. Time is running short. In the false church, we see this. In the book of Revelation, the brother know where I'm going.
Amen.
It said in the 17th chapter, this is a false church. Now, listen at the characteristic of the false church. And so he carried me away, the 17th chapter, the third verse. And he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. And I saw a woman that represented the church, represent the fall of Babylon, represent the new world order, represent the one world church. The woman set up on a scarlet beast. Look what she's setting up on, a scarlet beast, full of name and blaspheming, having the seven heads and the ten horns. False church now. These are people who profess they know Christ and don't know him. This is the woman that she's decked out to the bottom. Woo! In the last 30, 40 years, people come to church dressed up. I mean dressed to kill. Got the new car, man, got money in their pocket. Women with the short dresses on and their boobs hanging out. Oh, they looking sharp. Got the hat to the side. Got the tight dresses on. And, oh, man, they can sing in the choir. They can sing solo. And let me tell you something. The way they handle themselves, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, you're tempting the men. Good God, even when a woman sit down anymore, you usually sit down with your legs closed together. Now they cock them up and cross them over. The dress is so short, you can see the kitchen. Oh, my God. People don't need to see that in the house of God. The house of God is sanctified. The house of God is clean. Right. And let me tell you, if you walking around looking like Jezebel, guess what? Look what Jezebel had on. She said, has scarlet colored beasts full of names and blaspheming. There's a lot of folks in the house of God in the false church is blaspheming God. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the holiness
That's
of the
right.
church. They don't believe in the holiness of living. They don't believe in holy matrimony. They don't believe in marriage. Some folks are just shacking up. Good God Almighty. I'm in the church. Oh, yes, you in the church, but what church you in? You in the one that you can live the way you want to live. Say what you want to say. Well, if you in that kind of church, I'm afraid you better get corrected and fall down on your knees and repent. He said, and the woman was arrayed in purple. She decked out, man. Scarlet
yes,
color. That was gold. Precious stone. Jewels and earrings and earrings. And I ain't got nothing against it, but you got to temper yourself. You can't go over the hill. Some people just overdress. Man, they overdress until they don't look like themselves. Good God Almighty, it's a precious stone, pearl, having a golden cup in her hand. Full. It didn't say a little bit. It said full of abomination and filthiness.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir.
This is the church that everybody can come in. I don't care what they are. They can be a whoremonger. They can be a drunkard. They can be a liar. And they can go up and serve communion. They can get behind the pulpit and preach the gospel. They can do all this. And yet still, they have not been regenerated. They have the form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They ain't got no power to do but one thing, do what they want to do. But the Bible said, you walk in the Spirit as he walked in the Spirit. You have fellowship with the one another and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I noticed the hymn books no more. They don't throw them away. And now they got new songs.
Come on,
the one thing about the hymn books of my day and time, there's one thing that a hymn book always mentions. It mentions the blood of Jesus Christ. It says there's power in the blood down at the cross, the old rugged cross. You don't hear them songs too much no more. And the reason why, because the devil said, if I can get rid of the blood, I got him. But he can't get rid of the blood of Christ. Can't get rid of the blood
Come
of Christ.
On,
this church, listen to the name. This is the name of this church. And up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots. I'll break it down for you. The mother of whores. You got whores in the church.
Hey,
oh, you don't believe that? You ain't been nowhere. You ain't seen nothing. God ain't revealed nothing. He revealed it to me. In the Catholic church, there's more whoredom in the Catholic church than in any other world, so-called church in the world, and it's producing babies. without fathers, don't know their fathers, and they're covering it up. The Pope knows all about it. The bishop knows all about it. There's a whole lot of hoarding in some of these denomination churches. People praying prostitute, women praying prostitute. Ooh. Oh, come on, y'all. I know you don't like this, but it's in the church. The reason why some people can't get saved because they are not a witness. They're not a witness like the day of Pentecost. You think about that. Oh, my God, time is up. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead. Take it from there.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Amen. Let the Spirit lead you. Amen. Amen. We'll come back. We'll be back.
I'm sorry.
Amen. We'll come back Wednesday night.